Thank you very much, ladies. I appreciate the ministry of all the ladies and all that they do to enhance our worship services here. God has truly blessed us. I've got a quiz for you. Okay? What is the most known passage of Scripture in the Bible? No. Listen carefully to the question. What is the most known passage of Scripture in the Bible? What'd you say? You're absolutely right. Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is known as, even by people who don't really have much to do with church. And it's kind of an interesting thing. Whenever I'm going to be doing a funeral, I always ask the people the family, now is there a particular scripture verse or passage of scripture that your loved one enjoyed or would like to have read at their funeral? And it is rare that a family does not mention the 23rd Psalm. And what I would like to do is we're going to open up to Psalm 23, and we're going to kind of break this apart in the realms of what it means to be a shepherd and to look at our great shepherd and what it means for Jesus to be our shepherd. So as you open up to Psalm 23... we're going to read through this, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity. An opportunity for you to share with me what this psalm means to you. And then, if we have time this week, we're going to begin to look at four areas of this psalm. And if we don't have time, the next Sunday evening, we're going to look at these four areas. All right? But let's look at Psalm 23. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard. It's going to be very close to whatever you're reading from. So please follow along with me. The 23rd Psalm reads like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, let's pray. Our gracious Father, what an amazing moment this must have been for David when you spoke these words to him, to have him pen them for all eternity. Lord, I'm sure that he had no idea the impact that this particular passage would have on people's lives for centuries and centuries after they're penned, and in fact will continue to have an impact on those who read it, who hear it, until the day you come back. And Father, perhaps even a part of worship as we assemble around your throne. Lord, thank you for this particular passage of Scripture. Please open us up to a deeper understanding, and we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise. For it's in your awesome name we pray. Amen. Okay, I want to open this up a little bit. Is there anyone who would like to share what this particular psalm means to you? Perhaps there was an event in your life where it became important to you. Perhaps it's something that you learned when you were a child, and it's just kind of impacted you, and you've never forgotten it. But I'd like you to share a little bit about what this 23rd psalm means to you. So we open it up to volunteers before I start calling on people. No, I'm not going to call on people. We just open it up for volunteers. How many of this is the first time you ever heard this passage of Scripture? Do we have anyone like that? No? Okay. Okay, then we are familiar with it. Who would like to be the first one to share?
Well, I remember hearing a story. It's a very familiar psalm. People have read it. People have memorized it. And I remember a teacher once was saying that I memorized that psalm. I read it through. I was doing my scripture readings, and I read it through. And I thought, I need to take more time to study it. And he read it again, and he got as far as the Lord is. And he had a whole worship experience just with that, because we are so familiar with it, and we need to take time and look at each word, because there's a lot there.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to say dumb sheep, okay? Because I are one. All right. Okay. Mars, did you have your hand up? Amen. Amen. So that was a very profitable experience for you. All right. Anyone else? Shirley?
It was one of the many things that were required of us in our church, because we had 2 years of catechism. Mm-hmm.
And so it has kind of stuck with you? All right, good, good. Anyone else? Mike.
The rest of the passage.
Interesting. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Let me ask you a question. When you read this particular passage, what happens in your mind? Nothing?
The first verse of the song, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is our everything. He's everything to us.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Anyone else?
Peace and contentment.
Peace and contentment?
Peace and contentment.
Why?
Hope.
Hope. Okay. Good. Good. Thank you. Anyone else? Now, I figured Kim Marsh would jump on this.
Sure. Blame me.
We have these kind of fights in Sunday school, too. We probably ought to let you know. Now, the reason that I said I thought Kim would jump right on this is because Kim shared with me, and I don't think this is, I shouldn't share this, but she shared with me that she's very visual. And when I think of this particular passage, my mind immediately begins to picture everyone of these references. And that really helps this particular passage come to life for me. And a lot of people who are visual thinkers, you know, when they read something, their mind isn't going on interpreting words as much as it is seeing what is taking place here. A lot of people who look at that, when they're hearing this passage or when they're reading this passage, they are visualizing in their minds the very events that are taking place. Excuse me?
We used to do that with the radio programs. You couldn't see it, but you could hear it.
Very,
a picture in your head.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Before there was television. You notice how quiet I'm being about that? But, you know, those old radio programs and that kind of thing, your mind would have to visualize what was taking place, right? And that's a part of the reason that this particular passage is so popular and continues to be, because it's not a thing that has to be dissected, but we visualize what's taking place here. Our mind goes to the pasture fields in Israel, and we see the shepherd in our minds. We see a shepherd with the flowing cloaks that they would wear with what? That staff, you know, and they might be leaning on it very peacefully while they're observing the sheep, you know, but our minds begin to visualize what is taking place here. And we're losing some of that in the modern day world. And it's kind of interesting because city folk, I hope I'm not offending anyone here, city folk don't get it when it comes to visualization of that kind of thing. unless they have seen those pastoral scenes and be able to see that kind of thing, because they're all about hustle and bustle and horns blowing and buses bumping and all of that kind of stuff, and that's often what they visualize. But this particular passage just brings a peacefulness to us. It brings a security to us. And it brings hope, just like Bill said. It brings hope to us. And that's why so many people, when it comes to funerals, they want this passage. Because there's hope. And we always want to have hope when one of our loved ones has passed. And it's easier to release our loved ones to a shepherd who is kind, to a shepherd who provides, to a shepherd who watches over. It's easier, much easier, to release our loved ones to that kind of an idea. And this passage really brings that particular thing out. I would like us to look at this particular psalm, and we're not going to cover it tonight, believe me. But I would like us to look at four different areas that the shepherd involves himself in our lives, and how the shepherd really gives us that sense of security, that sense of peace, that sense of belonging. I don't know if you've ever paid attention to this, but sheep are kind of flock animals. Have you ever noticed that? They really attach to each other. And that's why there are so many biblical illustrations about sheep. Even in Jesus' teaching, he said, "I am the good shepherd." He says, "My sheep hear my voice," and they what? They follow me. And the thing that's interesting about that is every bit of that is in the plural tense. It isn't an individual sheep. It is my sheep, my flock. They hear my voice, and they follow me. And yet there is a personal aspect of this, especially in the 23rd Psalm. There are some possessives there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I remember one time our middle daughter, our youngest daughter, our middle child. This is another Emily story. I can remember the pastor had preached on the 23rd Psalm. His name was David Van Hoos. Emily was quite small. And we were just kind of talking about the message and that kind of thing. I don't know if Joyce remembers this or not. But Emily is such a visual thinker, and she always has been. And we were talking in the car about the wonderful message the pastor had preached and that kind of thing. We weren't having pastor for lunch. We were actually, very much thankful for our pastor. And Emily was sitting in the back seat, and Lynette was sitting there. And I don't know if Lynette remembers this or not, but Emily, we were just talking. I'd asked the kids, "What'd you think?" And Emily said, "I remember this from the message. The Lord is my shepherd, and I don't want him." And Do you remember that, Lynette? Their Joyce. The Lord is my shepherd, and I don't want them. You know, and I just kind of chuckled because that's the mindset of a child. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I had to explain to her, Emily, what that means is I shall not be in want. But the shepherd provides in great ways. And that's a personal aspect of this, and something that we can relax in, and something that we can trust and rest in. It was also Emily that said, you know, in Victory in Jesus, he socked me when he bought me. You know, that kind of thing. She was just a very visual. And he punched her to victory. That's right. He didn't plunge her to victory. He punched her to victory. And probably in Emily's life, that was very true. but, you know, our kids, sometimes we have to clear up some of the fogs that happen because of their thinking. And a good shepherd does that. The good shepherd of our life covers and clears a lot of the fogs. And so as we visit this particular psalm this next Sunday night, I really want us to tear apart some of the meanings here. And I have been doing some research on what it means to be a shepherd, especially in Palestine and in the history of Palestine. And there's just some interesting things that come out about that. And so I would like us to really look at that. And it will make us appreciate even more the great shepherd that we have. And it'll make some of the biblical references to sheep and shepherding make them more real to us and help us to understand. And we'll find out maybe we're not quite so dumb as we sometimes think we are. But we just need help. And we just need guidance and direction. And that's what Jesus is for. And that's what the Word of God is for. So hopefully you will consider that. I would like you this next week to once a day read the 23rd Psalm. Or those of you who have it memorized, once a day go over the 23rd Psalm in your mind. And then as we begin to break this apart, it's fresh in our hearts and in our minds. And it'll help us in our little journey through the shepherding fields of Palestine. All right? You know what? It's a little early, but we're going to close because I don't want to get into something and then have to break it off. So I'm going to ask you to please stand, and we're going to have a closing word of prayer. Actually, that clock says we're actually not too early. I don't know. My watch says I have 10 till. Well, that's not what that clock says. That says about 3 till or 4 till. So, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing passage of Scripture. Thank you for the way that this passage impacts our individual lives. And Lord, give us help and give us guidance so that we might be submissive to you as sheep that are followers, as sheep that are communal and draw close together. And now, Lord, give us guidance this coming week. May everything that touches our lives be filtered first through your wisdom, through your love. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise, for it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Give us a moment to get to the back so we can greet you, and have a great week in Jesus this week.